The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Start! You can call me Bruce.
Bruce Nolan is standing by.
Hey, Wacky Bruce!
Coming to you from an undisclosed location, this is the Bruce Exclusive. And here's your host, Bruce Nolan.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to another edition of the Bruce Exclusive, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Nolan. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, at Bruce Exclusive. Welcome back. On one hand, it's been very eventful in the week since we last spoke. On the other hand, not much has happened. Depends on your perspective. So I want to talk a little bit about what has transpired since the last time we spoke in regards to Buffalo Bills free agency. As a recap, here are the following items. Mitch Morse signed with Jacksonville. Cam Lewis re-signed with Buffalo. Gabriel Davis signed with Jacksonville. Leonard Floyd left for San Francisco. AJ Epenesa re-signed here. Daquan Jones re-signed here. Nyheim Hines went to Cleveland. Jordan Poyer went to Miami. Nicholas Morrow came in. And Mac Hollins came in. As of 6:38 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesday the 13th. Now, something could clearly happen while I'm recording this podcast. Obviously, if that does, we'll see if we can catch it. But I have a tendency not to have social media open when I'm recording for obvious reasons. Those are the things that have occurred in the Buffalo Bills sphere since the last time we have spoken. In addition, in the rumor mill, San Francisco released defensive lineman Eric Armstead, and attached to the release notification from a person on social media was, keep an eye out for Buffalo. And we all went, what? What do you mean keep an eye out for Buffalo for Eric Armstead? None of us had really considered the possibility that that kind of signing was going to happen for the Buffalo Bills. So now we're all on Eric Armstead watch. The Buffalo Bills have made a splash on defensive line before. It didn't work out the way they wanted it to with Von Miller, but that type of player fits the archetype of the type of player that Sean McDermott historically likes in his defense. In fact, when Gregory Rousseau was coming out in the draft, my comp for Gregory Rousseau in a best case scenario was Eric Armstead. That was, I mean, I had a conversation with Joe Buscalli about it on social media. You can go look it up. I was like, maybe you ask him to bulk up a little bit and he becomes a five tech and he becomes Eric Armstead. That was my comp in a best case scenario for Gregory Rousseau. He's ended up being a little different of a player than I thought he was going to be because the Bills have played him primarily on the edge at 4-3 end and they haven't asked him to bulk up and potentially reduce down inside as much as I thought they were going to. But it's a fun rumor anyway. There have been some blockbuster deals, most recently Calvin Ridley to the Jaguars, 4 years, $92 million, $50 million guaranteed. Big deal. The Titans want to throw the ball now. They've got a young quarterback and they want to throw. It's been a fun week. I enjoy the NFL transaction season completely separate from my Bills fandom. I love free agency. I love the draft. The draft is like one of my favorite weekends of the entire year. My wife jokes around, it's like Christmas for me. Except instead of Christmas in July for the Hallmark movies, it's Christmas in April on ESPN and NFL Network. One of the big storylines around the NFL for Bills fans and also for Packers fans was about the release of a fan favorite player who then turned around and signed with a division rival. For the Packers, they cut Aaron Jones, running back, who ended up signing with the Minnesota Vikings. For the Buffalo Bills, they cut safety Jordan Poyer, who signed with the Miami Dolphins. And this has created somewhat of a narrative in the space. I saw it with Aaron Jones. I saw it again with Jordan Poyer. And it's the concept that these players who get cut by their teams and sign with a division rival are traitors. And I want to talk a little bit about that. You all know by now that my favorite television program of all time is The Good Place. And in The Good Place, there is a specific book that is referenced a couple times, specifically early in the show, by a character who is a philosophy professor in that show. His name is Chidi Anagonye. And he's a philosophy professor, and he talks about a book by T.M. Scanlon called What We Owe to Each Other. T.M. Scanlon is a real American philosopher. This is not a fictional book. And he teaches philosophy at Harvard. Now, in the interest of not trying to make this entire show about this, I am literally going to read you the Wikipedia block paragraph on the concept of what we owe to each other, because at that point we can move on to the next thing. It's a version of contractualism from a philosophical standpoint. This is the Wikipedia entry. Contractualism is a constructivist attempt at providing a unified account of the subject matter of a central part of morality, which Scanlon calls what we owe to each other. The normative domain of what we owe to each other is meant to encompass those duties to other people which we bear in virtue of their standing as rational creatures. A broader conception of morality includes whatever else we might owe to specific people, such as the special obligations we bear in relation with friends and family, or whatever else morality may require of us, such as the way in which we treat ourselves or nature. Scanlon believes that what we owe to each other, or what we could loosely call the morality of right and wrong, is distinct from this broader conception of morality in that contractualism provides a unified account of its content. Whether or not something is right or wrong is based on what you owe the person who is righted or wronged. This is important. So, legally speaking, the reason why this is called contractualism is because it bears a significant resemblance to legal contracts. What you owe somebody is based upon your contract with them. The contract sets the expectations. Whether or not you have failed to meet those expectations, are you see where I'm going with this? Expectations minus reality equals disappointment. Whether you're doing right or wrong by that person is based on what you owe that person. From a legal standpoint, it's a little bit like negligence. Negligence is an actual definable term. It is not something that you just throw out there. Negligence implies four factors: duty owed, duty breached, proximate cause, and damages. Legally speaking, those four things must be present in order for someone to be negligent. You have to owe someone a duty. You have to breach that duty. And the breaching of that duty has to be a proximate cause of actual damages in order for that person to claim that they were wronged. They were negligently wronged at that point. So, back to Aaron Jones and Jordan Poyer. Traitor is an important word when we're having discussions about whether or not the fandom or we or the team was wronged by Jordan Poyer's actions. And to answer that question, you must first ask this question: what is it that Jordan Poyer owes you? What does he owe the team? And when does that change? When he is under contract with the team, does he not owe the team different things than when he is no longer under contract with the team? Somebody in my mentions brought up a great point that I'm going to go ahead and share with you. He said, if I work for State Farm and they fire me and I go to work for Allstate, have I betrayed State Farm? And the reason why that's actually a really good point is because, I don't know if you know this or not, insurance agents, for the most part, are contractors, not employees. So those, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there, those guys that you see on TV, they're contractors. They're not employees. They have a contract with their insurance carrier. Allstate agents have a contract with their insurance carrier. If that person ceases their contract, if they go ahead and cut you, and then you go and sign with their competitor, have you betrayed them? Oh, that's completely different. Okay. Have you betrayed the customers of the previous carrier? If I'm an Allstate agent and Allstate ends my contract and I go sign with State Farm, have I breached my duty to the customers of Allstate that used to be a customer of the carrier for which I was contracted? No, of course, that's ridiculous. The only reason we feel different is because emotionally, but contractually speaking, if we're going to use contractualism and we're going to use actual words, like we're not just going to go on vibes, if we're going to use actual words and actual logic, they don't owe you anything at that point. You are a customer of their previously contracted company. Whether or not you feel like they breached a duty is first based on whether or not they owed a duty. They don't owe you a duty to not sign and make money from a different carrier when they are no longer legally obligated to the first carrier. It's the same thing with teams. And I know we don't like it. It makes us feel weird. But that's okay. Like, you're allowed to feel weird. But there's no logical basis for calling them a traitor. Somebody in my mentions was upset about it and said, if you were a true fan, you'd understand, which is always a great way to start. He betrayed the idea that he loves the Bills as much as we do and hates the Dolphins as much as we do. He's not one of us. He betrayed the idea that he loves the Bills as much as we do. He didn't owe you equal love to the Buffalo Bills. At no point did he owe that, which means he didn't breach that duty because he never had that duty. There has to be a betrayal for someone to be a traitor. And betrayal is based on duty owed and duty breached. The word traitor literally means a person who betrays. It could be a friend, a country, a principal. You have to betray something. What it boils down to this: we want them to be like us. And they're not. No matter how relatable they are, no matter how much of a fan favorite they are, players are not fans. They are contractors. You can really like the company you're contracted with, but that doesn't make you a customer who has brand loyalty. And that's what we are. We are customers who have insane amounts of brand loyalty. They are contractors. It is not the same. They're not us. But we get mad when they're not us. But they were never supposed to be us. They didn't owe us the duty to be like us. Therefore, they cannot fail to live up to that. I'm going to tell you a story. So my wife has an acquaintance. And not too long ago, she was disappointed in the status of her relationship with the acquaintance. Man, you know, I wish it was going like this. I wish she would have done this. I wish it was different. And I had a conversation with her and I said, you are holding this person to a standard that is going to lead you to be disappointed frequently because they don't mirror what you think you're giving. They're not giving back what you give in the friend relationship. But at no point did they say they would. You're holding them to a standard they can't meet and they probably won't ever meet. And then you're getting disappointed when they don't live up to the standard. And this is the problem. We expect people to live up to things they didn't sign up for. I'm going to say that again. We expect players to live up to something they never signed up for. You want them to live up to being a fan. They never signed up to be a fan. You did. You signed up to be a fan. They didn't sign up to be a fan. They signed a contract for employment. Now, they could have great fondness for their contractual associate. The other end, it's not a unilateral contract, right? The other end of that contract, they can have fondness for that, but they're not customers with brand loyalty. That's what we are. We're just Apple fans or Harley Davidson fans or people who just love GM, right? There are families out there where they all have GM cars. They have brand loyalty. I'm only going to buy a GM product. That's what we are. We are exclusive brand loyalty to consumers. They're contractors. It's not even close to being the same. You're holding them responsible for your own emotions. This is ridiculous. Jordan Poyer is not a traitor. Aaron Jones is not a traitor. They are contractors. We are holding them responsible for stuff that's not fair. We are asking them to live up to something they never signed up for. It's about what we owe to each other. And they don't owe us that. They never did. And if you think that they do, you will continually and perpetually be disappointed when you are faced with a harsh reality that stands in juxtaposition to your expectations. We are going to take a quick break. Stick with me. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Welcome back, everybody, and thank you for joining me for this edition of the Bruce Exclusive, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Nolan. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Bruce Exclusive. Welcome back. We talked about what we owe to each other. And now we're going to talk a little bit about the Buffalo Bills free agent moves or, you know, potentially lack thereof so far this year. Number one, I think the Buffalo Bills re-signing Daquan Jones was probably the most important re-signing they could make. I think that Daquan Jones was the best player at a position that is still arguably in their prime from an age standpoint. The one player that you had been searching for a long time, and I have no interest in going back. I know what life was like when I was like, no, we need a one tech. No, we need a one tech. You got Star Latulele, and he just never ended up being that guy. You got Harrison Phillips, and I liked Harrison Phillips, but he wasn't as good as Daquan Jones. You finally got him. He crushed it his first year. His second year, he was off to an even better start, like an absurd level start. Folks, some of the advanced metrics that Daquan Jones was hitting early in this year were insane. He tore his pec. He came back and was actually still playing really well. So it's not like there's a question mark associated with his torn pec. Well, you know, he's a little older and he's coming off injury. No, no, we saw him play really well at the end of last year. So as far as I'm concerned, the whole injury thing is a non-starter. He was the most important player the Buffalo Bills could have retained. He plays at a position that has historically aged very well into people's early and mid-30s. very happy with that. I was nervous about that. From a compensatory pick standpoint, I was not expecting Dane Jackson going to the Panthers to potentially show up on our board. But based on the contract he signed, the Buffalo Bills currently could be about +3 in the compensatory arena. Because I don't think the Mac Hollins deal is going to be a negative from a compensatory standpoint. But I do think the Dane Jackson deal will be a positive from a compensatory tick. I know that we're all a little bitter about getting a fourth round instead of a third round when it comes to Tremaine Edmonds. But if you're already cap strapped, you might as well lean into that to get some compensatory picks. And that's the way I look at this. If you're already as a team not going to be a meaningful player in free agency because of cap, you might as well make sure you're playing the game. Well, Bruce, I'm really upset about the comp pick thing, and I'm just sick and tired of hearing about comp pick bingo. Okay, would you rather not sign anybody and not plan for it? Would you rather not sign anybody and not care about comp pick bingo? If you're already going to have a situation where you're not going to sign a bunch of people to big money deals, you might as well lean into it. This is steering into the skid as far as I'm concerned. That's what comp pick bingo is. It's steering into the skid. You don't go in there with a strategy that you don't really want to do. We want to not sign anybody. Guys, hear me out. I want to not sign anybody so that we can have more picks next year. That's not what comp pick bingo is. Comp pick bingo is taking advantage of a situation that was already less than desirable to make it a little bit more desirable because of silver linings. That's what comp pick bingo is. And so for me, I'm good with it. I'm really pleased. I don't think I mentioned Dane Jackson to the Carolina Panthers the first time. I was going off of just, you know, Sarah Larson at Sarah_Larson on Twitter. She's Buffalo Rumblings contributor. Line to Gain, great follow on Twitter. She was kind enough to do like the running list. And so I just went from that and I forgot to add Dane Jackson at the bottom of it, which is always a good time. It's a Bruce issue for sure. But Daquan Jones, number one guy on my list. I'm glad he's back. Number two, AJ Epenesa. Based on the contract, this to me is AJ Epenesa moving up a slot in the rotation. They're expecting more snaps for AJ Epenesa. Now, I caution you, there were some pretty solid efficiency metrics for AJ Epenesa. He still needs to develop because efficiency has a tendency to take a nosedive when volume increases. We've talked about this with every single player when it comes to this kind of thing. We talked about it with Deonte Hardy last year. That yes, his efficiency metrics were off the chart, but that stuff's not necessarily gonna keep and hold when volume increases. It frequently does not. It didn't with James Cook this year. Efficiency did not stay the same when volume increased. And I don't think it's going to be the same for AJ Epenesa either. So I'm perfectly happy having that body, the homegrown talent. I think I definitely think that the decision to keep AJ Epenesa and let go of Boogie Basham was the right move. I don't think Boogie Basham was developing the way that AJ Epenesa has. And I'm interested to see what he can keep doing as far as his development goes. But he is going to need to develop if he wants to start playing more snaps, because chances are the efficiency is not going to hold. It's not like, well, he had 6.5 sacks while playing 40% of the snaps. So if he plays 60% of the snaps, he'll have 1.5 times more sacks. Like, he'll have 10 sacks now. That's not how it works. But I'm completely fine with it. It's completely reasonable money. It's not meaningful money. Now, I do have the caveat that I don't like re-signing meh players. We've talked about this before. To anything other than like base contracts. The Cam Lewis contract, $2 million, I'd consider that fine, right? That's barely over league minimum at that point. So there is that caveat that this is the kind of thing you worry about a little bit. Is when you re-sign players that are okay, right? AJ Epenesa was fine. He was a perfectly fine player. We just need him to keep developing so that that deal can end up being a steal. And that's what you want. You want them to outperform the contract. in order for him to outperform the contract, I think he still needs to develop. Nicholas Morrow. As a reminder, my brother is an Eagles fan. Nicholas Morrow is not well-liked by a lot of the Philly fan base. I think it's a perfectly reasonable competition for a third linebacker. I mean, you want to compete with Dorian Williams to be a third linebacker or a fourth linebacker and special teams player? I'm good with it. Same thing goes with Mac Hollins, right? Mac Hollins is a perfectly reasonable fourth, fifth receiver with special teams. Do what I feel really comfortable if he rolls out as the prohibitive favorite at wide receiver two with no meaningful promising rookies behind him? No, I wouldn't be thrilled with that. But I do think he's a good, valuable player. He's been voted captain by multiple different organizations. I think he brings a lot of that benefit. I think that what you did was you essentially got your Saron Neal and your Jake Kumerow back, right? But I think those two players who can contribute more on scrimmage downs. I think Jake Kumerow didn't contribute as much at receiver as Mac Hollins can. And I think that Saron Neal didn't contribute as much on defense as Nicholas Morrow can. So for the people who are like, oh, I'm really mad at these special teams only players, you went out and got special teams players who can actually play a little bit on offense. And that's the way that I'm looking at it. And I think that's probably a healthy way to approach these signings. And that is where I'm at right now. And we managed to do this. The reason why I wasn't able to get the emails today is because we had these two sections and I knew I was going to hit about 25-ish minutes because of them. So it is what it is. But I hope the Bills do something fun. That'd be cool. I always like something fun happens, some sort of Bean After Dark splash. But if not, you know, I guess I'll just have to look at myself in the mirror and go, well, Bruce, that's the way the cookie crumbles. I'm Bruce Nolan, Buffalo Rumblings.